Welcome to the Tantric Lounge with noted expert on sex, love, and intimacy, Jacqueline Hillier. In our program, we'll discuss not only the nature of sex and the spirituality of sex, but also the science of sex. Now, here is one of Australia's leading experts on sex and love, Jacqueline Hillier.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Tantric Lounge. And I'm here today with my very erogenous co-host, Xavier Watercain.
Yes, I've never been described that way before. Thanks.
You'd have to be one of the most erogenous people I know.
Funnily enough, probably that is probably true.
It's like you swim in a sea of sensuality
constantly,
moment to moment.
Constantly, as do you.
Yes.
But I guess it might have to do with something with being a Leo. I don't know.
And I'm a Taurus.
And you're a Taurus,
the
yes.
most sensual sign of the zodiac.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So there you are. So for those of you who are interested in astrology, one of the ways that people might affect into their sexuality is to tap into that pre-existing morphic resonance field that surrounds astrology, which is an interesting subject, which I don't actually believe in, but even though I know that it works... And it doesn't work because it's true. It works because it works.
Yes.
But that's a whole other...
It is. Today we're not going to get quite so metaphysical. We're getting very physical today, listeners.
Extremely physical.
Very physical.
Yes. And as usual, we have Lalo, our wonderful sponsors of Swedish objects
yes.
of sensuality.
And erogenousness.
And erogenousness to thank for
Gosh,
our...
that's a sensual word. Erogenousness.
Yes, erogenousness. Just the word... melts off the tongue, erogenous.
Turn me on erogenously.
I think it lost it then. Anyway, Lalo, to which we are endlessly thankful for bringing us the opportunity to have these programs.
Yes.
And we will explore one of their more interesting devices later on in the show today.
Yes. Well, in fact, all of their devices, every single product that they sell is relevant to today's topic, because today's topic is...
turning your entire body into an erogenous zone.
Oh.
So, how...
using Xavier's voice.
How do we...
Yeah, I wonder if I can do it. Listeners, let us know. Can I do a voice as good as Xavier? Who has the more erogenous voice?
Oh, let's not turn this into a competition.
No, let's. Let's come on.
Okay.
Come on,
you do it.
You do it.
Okay, right. So today, we're going to talk about how to turn your entire body into one... large, sensuous, erogenous zone. So.
No, come on, I'm going to have another go. That's not fair. That is not fair.
We could just
that
go
That was
on.
So good.
We could go on
oh,
for
come
hours.
On, please,
go
indulge
on.
Me.
Okay, just one.
Listener,
quick.
Sorry, indulge me. So, Xavier, how would you suggest that we might explore these unknown yet rather arousing zones of our body?
Firstly, I would suggest that we look at the entire body as an erogenous zone, just to start off. You would start with a declaration. You can all the listeners.
The whole body.
Listeners, just take this opportunity right now to sit down with yourself and say, my entire body is an erogenous zone.
My entire body is an erogenous zone. Oh, it's working for me.
Good.
Calm down. Stop the voices.
Yes, we...
Pay attention. My brain's turning off.
Yes,
sorry. The left side of my brain is turning off.
You will agree that part of turning on your whole body into turning it into an erogenous will is about educating the body.
Right.
And it's about educating the body through sensuality. Now, for those of you out there who are... aware of their bodies, this will not come as a complete surprise. For those of you who tend to live in their heads, or even those who live in their hearts, this may be a bit of a revelation for you. But in fact, the main organ of interface between yourself and the rest of the universe is
the skin,
which is the largest organ of the body.
It is indeed.
Although I know of many men who wish there was another organ that was the largest organ of their body. Nevertheless.
Well, there is skin all over that other organ.
There is, exactly. But one of the most important things that anybody can realize is that sensuality and sexuality is not confined to that small zone.
No, most definitely not.
So how do we train the body to to become one huge erogenous zone, not only through the skin, but also internally as well.
And through the senses.
Through the senses, because not only do we have, most of us think of the five, the classical centers, senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, all of which are important, but there are also internal senses, like the internal senses of proprioception, which tells you about your orientation in the world, what's up, what's down, where the muscles are, where the bones are, where the sinews are, how the nerves glide between the muscles internally.
Yes, you know, there's some really interesting cases of people who lose their proprioceptiveness and they can't orient themselves in space.
Yes, what I think in one of Oliver Sacks' books is this wonderful quote about a woman who has suffered from that, and she, I think, or it's in another book, I can't remember, but the quote was, "There is a pain somewhere in the room, but I don't quite know where it is."
In the room.
Yeah, in the room, because that she had lost her sense of
where she was,
where her body was. So, in other words, her body inhabited the room. There is a pain somewhere in the room. But today is about pleasure.
Yes, it is. Today is about pleasure, which could potentially involve a little pain.
Yes, of course. So, let's go through some let's go through some of the variables that you'll be encountering. First, we would suggest that you, I mean, this is the great thing about having a podcast, you can just play this over and over again. With us, we would suggest that you get a variety of objects. And I and listeners, we have actually gathered our own little collection of objects.
We have so many objets here. Mine are all on display. I think I'm being a little bit of an exhibitionist here.
You
whereas
are.
Xavier's actually got his all covered up, so I don't know what's there. And you know what, listeners? That's adding a little element of anticipation.
Right. So part of, so another great point, part of turning your body into a neurogenous zone is not to have it all out on the shop front.
Yes. Yes, it's the what's going to come next. As long as you're feeling safe.
Yeah.
In which to do these activities.
Well, it doesn't look as if anything that you have there is particularly dangerous. Perhaps you'd like to go through some of these objects. Okay.
There's a very dangerous makeup applicator.
Yes.
Now, terrifying.
Most women will have a makeup brush.
Yes, probably several of different sizes.
And different textures.
Different textures, different levels of firmness and softness.
Okay, so one of the variables, of course, when we're talking about skin is, of course, texture. So let's talk about the texture of the of a makeup brush and what you can do with it to educate your body to becoming a more all-round sensuous thing.
Yes, well, let me share, in fact, a few little brushy type applicator type things that I found in my bathroom just a few moments ago. So first of all, we have, it's quite a fluffy brush, which I use for putting on
foundation.
No, not foundation. No, no, powder.
Oh, this is a powder brush.
This is a powder brush over the top. So would you like to expose your forearm, Xavier?
Oh, of course.
Exposing it.
I actually have a very sensitive forearm.
Well, forearms are actually very sensitive. So if I just start, I'm just, viewers, I'm just brushing his inner elbow and now working my way down his forearm and along his palms right to the tip of his fingers. How would you describe that sensation?
Very sensuous. Very sensuous.
Yes.
And also, be aware that when you're trying this at home, not only on yourself but on your partner, because you're also educating your, you might be educating your partner in this process, that another variable, of course, is pressure and time. So if you think of it musically, you can have long strokes.
Yes.
Or you can have small taps.
Ooh, small taps. Well,
For example, I can do that.
Oh, that's rather
lovely. Now, what I'm actually doing here is trembling.
He's trembling the brush on my skin.
Right?
Yes.
So as I'm doing that, that's a completely different sensation.
It is.
Right to the fingertips.
Yes.
Then the long strokes. But you can vary it, of course. You can tremble, stroke. And even you can press, tremble, stroke.
I think I would rather like a little bit of a tremble in the middle of my palm followed by a press.
Okay. Tremble in the middle of the palm followed by press.
Press and then maybe some strokes along each finger.
Okay. So this is another thing that happens when you're educating your body to sensuality.
Yes.
You suddenly get an intuition about what you would like. And unless you actually do this, which is why this is a very experiential program today.
Yes.
Unless you actually do this, you don't get that insight. It's not just about imagining what something might be like. It's about allowing somebody to give people certain tries about certain things
yes.
and then getting an insight.
Yes.
Oh, just like you did then. I think I would like you to tremble on my palm, then press, then stroke each finger. And then on the other side of the finger.
On the other side of my fingers. Yeah.
Because first I was using the lower part of the finger and then right on the cuticle of the nail, just the slightest touch.
And that's very, very subtle.
Yeah, it's very subtle. But again, it's like communication is important here. I'd like to try this. Okay, fine. Then we try something else.
Well, it's like that game that I shared a show or two ago where you instruct the touch and then you move into rating it and so forth. This could be a really lovely way of doing it because you have all these different objets that you've collected from around the house and you go, oh, I'd like you to use that one in this way.
Yes.
Yes,
exactly.
Let's do that for a while.
And then, of course, the person who's doing the touching rather than the touchy might get an intuition. I'm going to just try this.
Yes.
And then go with that.
Let's see. Rate it. So I have another object here.
This is a rather hard bristled body brush.
Yes, a body brush. So my intuition is telling me, Xavier, that I would like you to expose the not your forearm, but the back of your lower arm.
The back of my lower arm.
The back of your lower arm, because my feeling is that it might be a little bit too rough on the forearm. And I'm just going around the back of his lower arm.
Making small circles.
Making small circles. I'm now going over the wrist and on to the back of the hand and then a gliding sweep to the end of the fingers.
Now, my intuition tells me when I'm looking at the sensuality is that I might want to bury my fingertips in the body of the brush and just play with that a little bit.
So how did you find the rougher texture of that?
Well, because this is probably something that the listeners don't know, both Jacqueline and I have had individually rather a lot of experience with Japanese culture.
Yes.
And the Japanese believe very strongly in very hard brushing of the skin, especially in very hot baths. And that's like extreme exfoliation, but your skin actually becomes tougher, but it also becomes more sensitive. And yet the sensitivity, because of the toughness of the skin, the sensitivity isn't a traumatic sensitivity. I find that very, very helpful, that deep exfoliation of the skin. It makes the skin incredibly smooth.
Very smooth.
And as a result, it opens up a whole bunch of range of possibilities. So I actually quite like a hard brush against my body, but it's something that you have to build up.
Yes, and everybody's different and different parts of the body. That's why I intuited that it would be the back of the arm, not the forearm.
But my forearm is tough enough to deal with that.
Your forearm.
So the point is I'm just simply making a point that I can be quite rough there.
Yes, yes.
And you would find that too, listeners. You would find that certain parts of the body are obviously going to be more sensitive than others, but you also might find that parts of your body might be more less acutely sensitive than you might get a credit for. You might actually be able to go harder than you would normally imagine.
Yes, people are often a little bit too
tentative
when it comes to touch.
Mm.
Yeah. And one of the things I do in my couples retreat is I actually bring out some, you know, more like BDSM-y type looking objects, you know, like some little whips and things like that. And sometimes people are a bit like, ooh, and I'm like, no, you can use it like this. It doesn't have to be like painful.
Yeah, flagellation doesn't have to be whip. Right. It can be a very light, tappy thing.
Yes, yes. Now, I have another object from my bathroom, and this is another powder applicator. But this one's actually, it slips onto my fingers. So it's like a round pad, and it slips onto my fingers. And then it's like lamb's skin.
And what's it normally used for, this?
This is also for powder.
Oh, makeup applicator.
Okay. Yeah. So instead of using a brush, it's like this lamb's wool sort of thing. So I'm just, Xavier is presenting his neck to me.
Yes, the delicate skin just under the jaw.
Yes, and the cheeks and so forth. So how does that feel compared to if I use the brush now?
Well, they're both very different sensations.
They are different sensations, aren't they?
They're both pleasant.
Yeah.
They're both pleasant. They're just, they're different.
Yes. So those are a few items that I got just out of my bathroom, just everyday things.
Okay. Do you have another one that you want to share?
Well, I'm just sort of thinking about different unusual things that we often don't think of as being – sorry, I should I'm moving away from the microphone here, listeners. Now here's one.
Ah, a business card.
A business card. This is quite a thick business card, actually, which I think should be more interesting. So if you'd like to present your forearm again.
Okay, I'll give you my other forearm.
The other forearm. Okay. Now, if I just run the edge of the business card along...
This is the long edge of the business card.
The long edge of the business card along your forearm.
And you're making wavy motions.
I am making wavy motions. Mm-hmm. And actually, I just feel that on the palm, I'm going to use just... the corner.
So what's happened is that you used just the corner and you actually traced partially the lines on my palm.
Oh, I did. That wasn't my intention. But
no,
yes,
but obviously if the hand is curved, it will naturally fall into the creases and the lines of the palm.
Yes.
So that's new.
Yes.
And different. And of course you can also use the flat.
Ooh. Especially if it's a knife.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's a long... You can do long strokes with just the flat of a business card. If it's got a nice, wonderful cellulose coating.
Which this does. Ooh, that's nice under the chin.
Ooh. Even across the forehead.
Oh, that's lovely.
See, that's very calming. Try that with a business card, listeners. Just take a business card, the flat against the forehead, make gentle strokes up from the centre of the forehead and then out. And in fact, there's another variation you can do is that you can go... down from the crown of the head and down.
Oh, that's so
and unfortunately, lovely. Jacqueline's wearing headphone speakers because of the radio program, because otherwise I would just try. Okay, what does that feel like for you?
Oh, damn the headphones.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay? So even an ordinary everyday object.
Yes. Now, while we're speaking about headphones, let's add a different sense to it. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing touch at the moment, but... putting on headphones and playing music and different types of music while touching your partner will change the nature of the experience for them.
Hmm.
Yeah?
There are also the more very discreet headphones that fit right into the ear, mm-hmm. which take up a lot less room.
Well, yes, they don't have to be the big ones.
They don't have to
You've
be the
got
big
the little ones.
Yes,
I've got the big ones.
Yes, I've got the petite ones. So yes. It allows for but it also allows you to individualize the music. For example, two people can be wearing headphones and they could be playing completely different music.
They could be.
And that could be very interesting because one might have a very soft thing happening and the other one might have something a lot harder going on. It would be interesting to explore the various rhythms, because if you allow yourself to flow in with music, then you might be walking to the beats of different drummers. Nevertheless, the two beats might actually work quite well if you can find your way within them.
They could indeed.
So we'll look a little bit more at sound after the break.
And other senses as well.
And other senses.
And I'll show you what other things I found in my garden.
Okay, after the break.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-size ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
Question: what's working and what's not working in your life? Though we resolve each year to do things differently and we want what's great for our businesses, our relationships, our health, and more, we don't always know where to turn when life gets tough. That's where Leading Life Large with host Rob Braun comes in. Our show challenges you to reevaluate where you are and keep pushing your way to the success you desire. If you want it bad enough, we can help you turn your life around. Leading Life Large airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to the Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to the Tantric Lounge.
Welcome back to the Tantric Lounge. And Jacqueline has, in the interim, wrapped herself in a python. It's not a real python, although that could be interesting as well.
I love big snakes.
Now, that's interesting because some people find the texture of reptilian skin very, very nice, very soothing.
Oh, I love it. I've had large snakes wrapped around me.
And there is a pet.
We have a pet.
There's a pet blue-tongued lizard in the garden.
Yes, who I couldn't find.
No, but he likes being stroked under the chin.
And it's just so lovely to hold
with a fingernail.
Yes, and then he walks up and down your arms with his little spiky nails and rubbing his yummy reptilian tummy over you.
Now, before you think that this is getting totally kinky and we're advocating having sex with animals, no, we're not. We're not advocating bestiality. We're simply making the point that these textures in nature are very interesting and can be found all over the place, and feel free to explore that.
Yes. And in fact, even though this giant python is not real, it's actually a stuffed toy. I actually raided my little boy's bedroom to find objets of plaisir. But what this is wrapped around me. And then if I very slowly unravel it, then it feels quite delicious as it goes around my neck and over my shoulders. And it's very slow and it just keeps on keeping on.
Yes, it's the gift that just keeps giving, doesn't
it? It's a very, very long snake, but it keeps on going. I'm going to have to fast forward that. And here's another one that I prepared earlier. And what I have here wrapped around my arm is a rather lovely scarf. And the scarf is made of wool, but it's also got...
It's pleated wool.
Yes, but it's got rabbit fur sort of braided all through it. It actually looks quite American Indian, doesn't it? Mm. So this too, if I allow it to very slowly unwind off my arm, creates some rather lovely pleasure as well.
Don't underestimate the sensuality of fur. A lot of people like lamb skin. Mm. A lot of people like, and fur often gets a bad rap because endangered species, minks and all of that sort of stuff, seals. I mean, we're not advocating that either. No. You can get quite the same amount of pleasure from animals like rabbits, rabbit fur and sheep that are in no danger of being...
Well, certainly not in Australia. Yes. Well, look, here's another one I found too, also in my son's room. And this is a koala. It's a stuffed koala. And the reason I got this...
Not a real koala. It is a... Yes. We should.
Yes, real koalas are actually not the cuddly things that you think they are.
They're actually quite dangerous.
Quite dangerous. They've got very sharp claws. You have to be careful cuddling a real live koala. But this one is made of some synthetic material, which hasn't actually killed any animals at all. And this too, like just rubbing it all over the body and having this lovely soft plushness, it could be actually quite fun.
We were going to discuss sound. I was going to say something that the mind and the body are not separate objects. They're not separate things. The mind interacts with the body constantly, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Part of turning your whole being into one large erogenous zone is to give yourself over also to the intellect, because the intellect is often not seen as a sensual, erotic thing, but it can be. Allow me to demonstrate how this is possible. Mm. By combining the sensuality of, say, a fabric against your skin or another object or whatever, and just maybe gently stroking yourself with something.
Okay, I shall do that. Shall I do that?
Yes, you do that. Yes, you just indulge. And now this is an experiment. So what I'm now going to do is I'm going to quote you some poetry from Tobias Smollett, who was a Scottish poet who lived between 1721 and 1771.
Are you going to use the voice?
I'm going to use a voice.
A voice.
And I'm not going to speak in a Scottish accent because I don't think that would quite be as sensual as it could be.
No offence to Scottish
not
people.
Not as far, no, but I'm just going to read
some Scottish accents.
I'm just going to read this poem to you. So, listeners, Just try this. Stroke yourself with something while I read you. It's a very short poem. Thy fatal shaft's unerring move, I bow before thine altar, love. I feel thy soft, resistless flame glide swift through all my vital frame. For while I gaze, my bosom glows, my blood in tides impetuous flows, hope, fear, and joy alternate row, and floods of transports whelm my soul. My faltering tongue attempts in vain, in soothing murmurs to complain. My tongue some secret magic ties, my murmurs sink in broken sighs. Condemned to nurse eternal care, and ever drop the silent tear unheard, I mourn unknown, I sigh, unfriended, live unpitied, die.
That was good.
So what I'm getting at there.
That was really good.
So that worked for you, did it?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying.
You talked for a while, my brain switched off.
Okay, so Jack, I'm going to talk about one of my objets because I haven't talked about my objets.
Yes. What objets do you have?
Well, I have this rather nice soft blanket, which is basically a whole body wrap. So what I'm saying is you don't necessarily have to isolate one particular part of your body either. You can actually wrap yourself entirely up in a silk sheet or in a textured blanket, etc., and just roll in it.
Roll in it.
Just
have your partner roll you in it.
Yes, and especially since there's the surprise. Where's the next hand going to, where's the band or
I got some new sheets recently. They're bamboo. They're made of bamboo.
That's interesting.
Oh, they're lovely. They're so soft. I could imagine being rolled in those.
And if you use a high cotton sheets with a very high bond count, which is a very high count, like a 1200, feels like silk. For those of you who don't know, cotton sheets come in a variety of different weaves. A low count at 400 feels like a normal sort of cheap sheet. You get up to an 800 and it feels much better. Egyptian cotton, by the time you get to 1200, though, it feels like silk. It's an extremely fine and dense weave.
Well, the bamboo feels like that.
Oh, okay.
And it's more environmentally friendly. What else do you have for us?
I also have this thing that I picked up in a market, which is basically polished shell fragments.
It is, but they're not smooth, are they? They look
Both. They're both smooth, glassy, smooth, and a little bit
sharp,
rough. But they're not. They won't cut.
No. But you could roll that over the body.
Exactly. Which again, another idea: jewelry, which you normally think as being particular to one certain part of the body, can in fact.
Well, I brought some pearls along, which I found can be quite nice if you wrap the pearls around your hand.
These cultured pearls?
Yes. And then you rub it over different parts of the body. Mm. It feels quite lovely. You could do the same with this. It's a rougher texture.
So even everyday objects that you don't normally think of as being sensual, for example, I'm not going to do this because I've actually applied – this is my toothbrush, my electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
I'm not going to apply this to Jacqueline because it's been in my mouth. But what I would suggest, for example, is – turning it on and tickling your earlobes with it.
Ooh. Yes.
For example.
Mm.
My ears, big confession here, are a very erogenous zone.
Are they?
Yes. I'm very, very sensitive around the ears.
Mine's my neck.
Oh, really?
My neck is amazingly erogenous.
Okay. So everybody's going to have a different
places. Some areas will be more so than others. I love my knees.
Mm-hmm.
My knees are incredibly erogenous, front and back.
Oh, I'm too ticklish in the knees.
Are you?
Yes.
Then you probably need to have the touch applied in a different way.
Probably. Sides of my trunk as opposed to the front.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that are interesting is to invoke smells.
Oh, definitely. I bought some of those too.
Okay. So, for example, incense, which sometimes is better unburnt. I have some cinnamon incense.
That's lovely. Yes.
Right?
That smells beautiful.
Which smells really delightful. Mm.
See, when you get a lovely smell, it just immediately wakes up your body to
exactly.
An extent,
and smell is, of course, the most sensual.
Oh,
and
that's the white sage one.
That's the white sage.
Well, I might.
That's quite heady.
Some of that one.
That's quite
it's good
heady.
For purifying, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's heady and musky.
Mm.
And of course, smell is probably the most primitive of all the senses because it interacts directly with chemistry. And if you can imagine animals swimming around in a primeval ocean before they develop eyes or ears or anything else, they would have developed
smell or chemical response to chemicals.
Chemical response and what odors and scents, but chemistry carried through the air.
Can I share my scent things?
Sure.
So I went into my garden, and I have a huge vegetable garden with a huge herb garden in it, and I have picked some basil. So the basil itself smells beautiful, but it can also be used to touch the body. And so you can wave it around the face so that the nose picks up the scent.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some sage as well.
Yes, this is fresh sage.
I have fresh sage, which you can do the same thing with. Oh, that feels quite nice as I brush it over my face and I can smell it. And then I got some flowers too, which I just picked, which are both beautiful to look at. And they have a lovely scent. And also, this is quite a delicate flower.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be brushed all over the body as well. So this combines the visual, the tactile, and the olfactory.
Flowers are also edible.
Yes, some are.
Some are. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you have to check beforehand.
Try not to
ingest oleander. That'll kill you. But rose petals, of course, washed and then either eaten raw. You can also do with rose petals is that you can paint them with egg white and then dip them in icing sugar so that they're sugary.
Well, I noticed when I was in the garden that my little tarragon plant had some beautiful yellow flowers on it, and I didn't want to pick it because it's still quite small, but if I'd had a bigger plant, I could have picked that, and then you have the scent and the look. Releasing the scent.
And what a lot of people don't know about the chemistry of scent is that there are levels of scent, that there are some odors that are immediately highly volatile, so that they'll just hit you. They're like bangs on a cymbal, whereas others are longer lasting and deeper. And so when people create perfumes, they create top notes, middle notes, and bottom notes. So the top notes are the first burst that you get. The middle notes hang in a little longer, and of course the underlying bottom notes will usually combine with your own body odor, which is why scent has to be very highly individualized. And you need to really, it's worth exploring how scent behaves on your own body, which is why it's very difficult to buy perfume for other people.
You know, I can't wear perfume.
And you can't, and some people don't wear.
No, because my skin is too acidic and it turns perfume rancid.
Ah, that's interesting.
Same thing with my mother. I inherited it from her. Unless it's a very strong scent, but then that gives me a headache.
But yet you have a lotion there.
Oh, well.
Which is a scented lotion, I assume.
Yes, but this is a massage oil.
Okay.
So, which is beautiful. Yes. In fact, I find oils are much better.
So alcohol-based perfumes, no. Oil-based, will.
Smell that.
Oh, yes, that's a very...
That's gorgeous.
It's a bit sweet for me.
Well, it's a massage oil.
Yeah, but it's still a bit sweet for me.
I don't know what's in it.
That's all right. I mean, whatever works for you.
And I was just going to say, too, that just from waving those herbs around, I now have the scent of the herbs on my fingers. So if I was going to continue touching my lover, then he or she would pick up those scents as well.
Bringing in also another complexity here is that leave yourself open to serendipity, surprises. Oh, I crushed some herbs against me. Oh, now I'm putting on some oil.
Yes.
Oh, that gives me something that's completely different to what I had previously thought.
And so you're taking your partner on a journey of sensual pleasure here, and it's like you're creating a symphony. It doesn't have to be a symphony. It might be something very, very simple. And, you know, dare I say, don't do too much unless you've developed it.
I'd like to introduce also the concept, this comes from neuro-linguistic programming, of anchoring points.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, an anchoring point happens when you do something at the same time that you do something else in order to create an association between the two. For those of you who are familiar with the famous Pavlov's dog experiment, where this Russian behavioral scientist turned on an alarm bell or a flashing red light every time he fed a dog, the dog would obviously salivate in anticipation of the meal. But what happened was eventually the dogs learned to associate the flashing light or the alarm with food, and they would start salivating even without the presence of the food.
Yes.
Classical conditioning. So what I'm suggesting that is also possible for the listeners is that you can use this classical conditioning and make it work for yourself. So, for example, I have another object here.
Oh, more objects.
I have another object.
Oh, what have you got there?
A stainless steel chopstick.
Oh, that looks a little bit now probe-like.
It is a bit probe-like, but the point about this is that I think it's pretty useless as a chopstick because it's much too smooth.
It's too smooth,
it's
yes.
much too smooth. Nevertheless, because it's metal, it's stainless steel, it's very temperature sensitive.
Yes.
So you could start by putting it into the refrigerator or even the freezer and experimenting with cold.
You could.
And then you can just, and if being a long, thin, cylindrical object, you have that point, or you can have the broad strokes.
Yes.
Or a combination. And it's also like tap, 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 tap.
Temperature plate. You could warm it up too. You could put it in a glass of hot water.
Yes, exactly. You can play with temperature with it. Mm. What I'm suggesting, though, is that objects like this are also very good for creating anchor points. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you are... Let's imagine that you're, this is also a very powerful thing, the thing that you can do, spinal stroking.
Mm-hmm.
Lie down on your belly while your partner strokes you with the palm of their hand all the way from the nape of the neck to the coccyx. Long strokes, right?
Yes, I wish we could demonstrate this, but I wouldn't be able to get to the microphone.
What you can then do is then say, use an object like this and maybe have it in your hand and then press the point to the center of your palm, right?
As it's being done. Ah.
So what happens then is that you're creating an association between the sensuality of that so that you could at any time...
Poke
your palm with one of your fingers. You could use the middle finger and you just poke your palm, a la Spider-Man. But what you've done... is that you have anchored that sensation.
Mm.
So whatever pleasure you get from that long spinal stroking, you can get simply by pressing.
You know, I just had a thought that the fact that you and I, for example, are such highly sensual creatures and can find anything sensual and arousing and therefore creating the release of positive, happy hormones in our bodies is probably because we have unconsciously been anchoring lots of positive things all throughout our lives.
But for those people who haven't, this is a great opportunity to explore different things.
Mm.
And as we have, as we talked in another program about finding the sensual in the ordinary, you can be washing dishes.
Yeah.
Feeling the silkiness of detergent against your bar and fingers, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And something that people like a lot is, again, that scalp thing where you take your fingers and you... give a light stroke down from the crown of the head down. Just do that a little bit. And you can also anchor that.
Mm.
You can maybe squeeze your thumb. You can clench your teeth, which is very invisible. I mean, you can be doing this all day long. You can just be clenching your teeth
and imagining the
clenching your
slow...
teeth.
The kids in Australia, I don't know if they do it in other countries, have got this thing where you pretend that you've cracked an egg on someone's head. You go knock, knock, knock,
that's right.
Slap, and then you just allow your fingertips to go down the sides of their heads as though it's the egg running down.
Exactly. And if you clench your teeth, and if you clench your teeth like just for a second as you're doing it, you anchor that.
Mm.
We'll have many more ideas after the break. Yes, I know. Time is flying.
It is flying when we're having such fun. It's so pleasurable. The sense around us at the moment is just lovely. Join you again soon, listeners.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Are you taking full advantage of all the lessons that your life is trying to teach you? These lessons are the building blocks of who you are and who you will ultimately become. On Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, host John Earle will show you how to discover your life's lessons and how to use these lessons to transform your life into a deeper and more profound experience. Discover the meaning of your existence. Tune in to Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
Hello, welcome back to The Tantric Lounge. Now, you might notice that I have a mouthful, and I have a mouthful of chocolate, because I think chocolate is a very important way of turning one's body into an erogenous zone from the inside out. How's your chocolate going?
Well, I'm actually just smelling it.
You're just smelling your chocolate?
Yes, I'm taking it nasally.
Nasally. Oh, God, and I'm just consuming it.
Well, this is another thing that people have to do. Sometimes you need to take it slowly and just appreciate it. I don't know how often people do this, but just take time to smell the chocolate before you eat it. People just often pop it just straight into their mouths. But if you take some time to smell it.
Oh, I'm guilty of that. I think I need another chocolate.
You'll probably need to go through.
No, but I have to say, just like feeling the flavors as they sort of wash through my mouth and like feel it going right down. It's like I'm taking the sensuousness of the chocolate from my mouth right down into my stomach, right into my body, and then allowing the chocolateness to sort of permeate through my whole body as though that chocolate sensation is right in the tips of my fingers and the tips of my toes.
So this is almost a meditative chocolate experience.
This is, yes, chocolate as meditation. This is one of the things I love about the whole tantric approach, or the true tantric approach, is that they take pleasure. It's about using pleasure as almost like a meditative thing so that you get more in touch and you can raise yourself spiritually. And as we've been explaining in recent programs, it's not actually about, oh, yeah, chocolate, great, yum, 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 now I'm going to eat another one, or, oh, now I'm just kind of oversated with chocolate. In your case, you're smelling the chocolate first, and I'm consuming it and allowing the essence of chocolate to flow through my body. That's how you tantrically consume chocolate or experience chocolate.
Yeah, and I'm also enjoying the experience of the contrast between the smell of the foil, because the foil has a smell itself, and the chocolate itself. It's a bit of a dissonant, but it's also interesting. Ah, that's really...
The sound.
Well, the sound of the wrapper anyway.
I've got a couple of other sound things.
Go on.
Can I share some more things with you?
Sure.
So you might want to have your partner with their eyes closed or possibly blindfolded or something draped across their eyes if they don't like the idea of being blindfolded. And you can get...
Not so close to the mic.
Also, that might actually not sound quite so good. Right next to it. But if you just allow something like this rattle just near their ears, that can have different effects as well.
And for some people, it might put them on edge.
Well, they might not like it.
They might like... Ah, here's another anchoring thing. This reminds me. This obviously sounds a little bit like thunder or the clanging of rain on a tin roof.
But imagine if you were doing this while running your fingers or a fork down your partner's body, gently rubbing it.
Yeah, that's a completely different feeling, isn't it? Interesting.
Works for me. Might not work for everybody.
We haven't talked much about light.
Oh, hang on, can I do one more?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right, because you so beautifully read a poem.
Mm-hmm.
I have found a poem too.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yes, and I also wanted to, so that people realise that you did it with a beautiful male voice,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it with a female voice.
Okay.
And again, this is something I do in couples retreats as well, is we blindfold each other and we do read poetry.
Whisper them into the ear.
Yes, you whisper it. So one that I rather love, it's an ancient Sanskrit text, and it goes, "When we have loved, my love, panting and pale from love, then from your cheeks, my love, scent of the seat I love, and when our bodies love, now to relax in love, after the stress of love, ever still more I love, our mingled breath of love."
It's very sweet.
Oh, I think it's quite lovely.
You
could be consuming a chocolate.
Yes.
While whispering that.
And in candlelight.
In candlelight.
Which is why I brought a candle. Just as a symbol of something else. Again, this is part of the anchoring process, creating associations between different senses, different sensations, etc. So I always associate candles with a wonderful, mellow, calmness. So it's just a beautiful quality of light, especially on dark, stormy nights.
Ooh.
I just think, and there's nothing better than a fire.
Oh, yes.
The dark, stormy light, fire, the sense of being nurtured and snug and comfortable.
That's why my couples retreats, the ones near Sydney up in the Blue Mountains, I do them there because every single cabin has its own fire.
Lovely.
It's just delicious. Yes, and I just to stress too, when you're saying that it creates this lovely atmosphere, is that to be able to do this kind of exploration, it needs to be in a beautiful space, a space that's nurturing and you feel safe.
I would like to introduce the world to, this isn't the only place where people have heard it, but to our listeners, to the Lalo Dextrous.
Ooh, the Dextrous. Tell us more about the Dextrous.
Okay. The Lalo Dextrous fits in right with the theme of what we're doing today, because we're educating our bodies to become a totally erogenous zone. Mm. The Lalo Dextrous works on the science that left-handers do it and have it better.
Oh, and you're left-handed, aren't you,
Xavier?
Us poor righties.
Yeah, exactly. The theory goes that the right brain is all about the holistic, the sensual, the poly, whereas the left brain is linear, etc. And because of the cross channel cabling in the nervous system, the right handers are more in tune with their left brain, whereas left handers are more in tune with their right brain. So the right brain lefties have it better because they are predisposed neurologically to have more intelligent sex, in the sense of a greater integration between what their heads are doing and what their hearts and bodies are doing. So what the Lalo Dextrous is it's called and that's spelled Dextrous, which is funny because dexter actually means right. But I guess they couldn't call it the Lalo Sinistrous because of the classical association between
sinister
and left. Which is sinister, is actually the Latin word for left. So what you do is you hold the dextrous in your left palm, and it vibrates. And it does, and what it does is it creates it stimulates the right side of the brain. So it's a vibrator for right-handers only, to get them more in touch with their left hand, which makes them more in touch with their right brain.
Which makes the whole sexual experience.
Exactly.
What?
It's training the body to be more attuned to sensuality.
Right.
So that's the Lalo Dextrous that you can learn more about by going on. You can watch a little video about it on YouTube, and just put in Lalo's New. So LELO'S New in YouTube, and the first thing that comes up is Lalo Presents the World's First Vibrator That Makes You Smart. And there are a whole bunch of other videos that are interesting as well, like about masturbation and stimulating women to have greater orgasms and all that sort of stuff.
You know, it's interesting though, when you say the first vibrator to make you smart, is that like good sex and the kind of approach to sexuality that we're talking about here actually does make you smarter.
Yes, and also good sex is smart sex. often. Like good cooking, it's smart cooking, making the best of the ingredients with what you've had. It's about making the best of what you've got. Mm. Not everybody has everything on the handed to them on the silver plate.
Mm.
Some people may have body issues. They may look at the mirror and they look at their face and they think, well, I'm not exactly a supermodel. I don't exactly have the body of a Greek goddess or god or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Nevertheless, what you've got is what you've got. Mm. Make the most of it.
Indeed.
Why deny yourself the potential for pleasure that's inherent in your body simply by existing?
Yes.
If we weren't meant to enjoy pleasure, we wouldn't have so many pleasure receptors in our body.
Yes. Our bodies are complete pleasure machines. Our bodies thrive on pleasure.
Sometimes too far, as is implied by one of our questions.
No, Tina, we have questions,
yes,
do we?
Yes, we have questions. Good. Tina asks, we've tried doing this sort of thing, but my husband gets carried away and wants to do more and more, and I feel it's too much. Should we try again? Your advice for Tina?
Oh, look, definitely, definitely. And it's this whole Western thing that if something must be good, more of it must be better. And it's not. Pull it back, pull it back, pull it back, pull it back. Focus on the subtlety.
I guided you through a meditation yesterday where we looked at exploring pure feeling.
We did, didn't we? That was rather lovely.
Yes, and that was, and we can talk to our listeners about it more in another program, the basic idea was, let's explore one pure feeling and take it as far as it can. There's a limit.
Mm.
There just seems to be an inherent limit, which changes in time, maybe even at different times of the day or in the course of life, of how far you can take a particular feeling before it's no longer pleasurable. It's like those optimality curves, like salt. A little bit of salt, great.
Yes,
more salt, maybe better. Too much salt,
until
it tastes horrible.
Yes, so we get that with food to some extent, with flavors. Too much of a good thing. So you need to be able to expand this into your more physical pleasuring. So, Tina, I suggest that you have another chat with your husband and say that you want to try it again and you want to do it a little bit differently and slowly. Maybe just start with one sense or one object or one part of the body and work with that. And again, you can use some of those exercises that I shared. Was it in the last program or the one before where you instruct the touch or you give feedback from one to three? It was in one of the recent ones. And that way you'll be able to give him some guidance around how what's good and what's not good.
Greg asks, my wife is just not into touch. She was brought up in a very unaffectionate family and had some sexual trauma in her adolescence. Could or should I try this? And if so, how?
Yes. Well, yes, please do. Similar advice to what we just gave to Tina is like start very, very small, right? And you might want to start fully clothed. Just use one object and get lots of feedback. So no sudden movements, no intensity, nothing unexpected. Just start very simply. Find something that she actually quite likes the touch of. She might have like a favorite scarf or something.
I might also point out that if somebody is in this state, it's a possibility that they've been so touch starved for so long that if you overwhelm them, it goes beyond their tolerance level.
Yes, and it will have the opposite effect.
Exactly.
So they'll either go numb or they'll freak out.
Yeah. So start slowly and be very patient.
Yes. Patience is absolutely the key.
Ron says, ice. I love ice. I'm assuming he means frozen water.
Yes.
On the body or in the mouth and then the mouth on body.
Ooh, yes.
Thank you for sharing, Ron.
Thank you for sharing. And yes, temperature play is fabulous and you can do the same by putting hot things on the body, as we mentioned before, when you brought out the metal chopstick. But you can do the same thing. You can put some hot tea in your mouth and then touch your partner's body in different
ways. And with hot tea, like a herbal tea or for any tea really, you can get both the flavour and the smell and the touch and the temperature and the room. You can play with that quite a lot.
Mm.
Sylvia says, you mentioned taking dessert in the bedroom one time. We did it. We blindfolded each other and fed each other. It was so erotic. It opened up so much more sexual creativity.
Yes.
And, of course, again, this comes back to classical conditioning. Mm. We associate dessert with good feeling anyway.
Mm.
So why not bring something that you already associate? So think about your own history of sensuality, not just sexual history, your history of your sensuality.
Yes.
What do you associate with a good feeling
a good
generally
feeling.
And then bring it into the sex play?
Yes, definitely.
P Peter and Jane, thanks so much for this program, for all your great practical advice. We were so stuck in penis and vagina sex without even realizing it. Now we're out of it, thanks to you, and so much good advice today. Playtime. Yes, this is all about playtime. Again, this, if you're going to take the journey down of creating your entire, making your entire body a neurogenous zone, play with it. Be playful.
Yes.
Don't take it too seriously.
Yes, this is not serious. This is not serious.
And be willing to laugh.
Yes, especially if what you try doesn't work.
Especially if it doesn't work, really badly doesn't work. Oh, instead of being traumatized by it, just think about, gee, that was hilarious in how not it worked.
Yes.
How badly that did not work. Let's never go down that path again or wait a while.
Or try it differently.
In conclusion, Jacqueline, is there anything more that you would like to add? Time has flown on this one.
It has. And I've still got more beautiful operas which I haven't shared. But
we can share them in future programs.
Oh, look. But I just encourage everybody just to look around them right this moment. And what have you got probably within fingers' reach from where you sit that you could use to engage in sensual play with your partner yourself?
Let your intuition be your guide.
That is what I encourage. And I just want to say that I have two places left for couples on my Bali couples retreat in late May, 20th to 25th of May. So if any of you would like to come and join me there, where we will be engaging in some rather sensual discoveries, I would love to have you join me. And I think that's it.
Yes, until next time.
Until next time, please go and enjoy. And we'll see you again next week down on the Tantric Lounge.
Thank you again for stepping inside the Tantric Lounge. Please join your host, Jacqueline Hillier, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now, go try something you've learned this week.